Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, concerning the subject of our liberty in Christ. Now, I've preached on this before, but it's one of my favorite subjects. When we talk about a true believer, a true Christian who is free, free from the law. We sing a hymn called Free from the Law, O Happy Condition, Jesus hath bled and there is remission. And talking about the liberty that true believers, sinners saved by grace, have in and by and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, the apostle writes to the Galatians, he says, stand fast, that means firm and immovable. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, that tells us something there. We didn't make ourselves free. This freedom wasn't natural to us. But stand fast, firm and immovable. Therefore, and I'll talk about the therefore in just a moment, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, let me say this at the outset. The liberty and the freedom that God's people have in Christ is never in any way, shape, or form, to any degree, a liberty to sin. You know, I hear people sometimes raise an objection when we talk about salvation totally by grace. And sometimes we use the term free grace. Well, really, there's no other kind of grace but free grace. Because if you put a condition on it or add a cost to it, then it's not grace. Someone said that mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, and grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And that's true. Grace is salvation totally. And listen to this. Grace is salvation totally conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ, who by himself, as the surety and the substitute and the redeemer of his people, fulfilled those conditions to ensure their salvation. And that's why we talk about grace. The Bible says that grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now and I always want to make this clear too. Salvation does not cost me anything, but it costs Christ everything. There is a cost, there is a price to be paid, and the price is his blood, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what the scripture says. The redemption price, the payment for sin, is the blood, the death, the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ, because sin demands death. We will quote Romans 3:23 a lot of times. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. So there is a cost, but I didn't pay it. Now, I know the Bible says for us to count the cost, but that's not the payment for sin. That's not my righteousness before God. In other words, it's going to cost me everything in the sense that I'm going to have to leave all that I naturally, in unbelief and sin, hold dear and lay hold of Jesus Christ. But the liberty that's in Christ is never liberty to sin. And so when we talk about salvation totally by grace, saved by grace, kept by grace, and brought to glory by grace, A lot of people will come back with this objection. Well, then that means I don't have to obey, or I can sin as much as I want to. But the liberty that believers have in Christ is never liberty to sin. You know what it is? It's liberty to serve. It's liberty to follow Him and to love Him and to believe in Him. That's what this liberty is. And He says, stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, He says there in verse 1, He says, stand fast therefore. The therefore reaches back to what He had written in the first four chapters of Galatians. And what you have to understand is there was a problem. You know, in the area of Asia Minor called Galatia, there were several groups of people that Paul had been used by God to establish as gospel churches. And after Paul left on other missionary journeys, Jewish false preachers came into those churches and began teaching the law something that would substantiate salvation, something that would cover it and make it better. In other words, they were introducing the law of circumcision, the law of days and weeks and months, abstinence. In other words, they were saying that they believed in Christ. They were claiming to be Christian. And they were saying that they're saved by grace, but a believer has to keep certain aspects of the law, such as circumcision and keeping of days and this, that, and the other, in order to be really saved, in order to be holy, or in order to be made more righteous, and to evidence their salvation. And Paul calls that bondage. You see, salvation is totally by grace, based upon the righteousness, the merits of Christ, obedience unto death, His righteousness imputed to me. The righteousness in which I stand before God, justified, whole, saved, and free, is not my works in any way, to any degree, at any stage of my Christian life. It is totally the work of Christ. It's called the righteousness of God. And when anybody comes in and tries to put me under the law and say, do this or do that in order to attain or maintain salvation or to be rewarded in heaven, that's bondage. That's legalism. That's salvation conditioned on sinners. And that's what these Jewish false professors were bringing into the churches of Galatia. And Paul says, don't allow them to do that. In fact, in chapter 1, he called it another gospel, which is not another. He says it's a false gospel. And he said, those who preach it, let them be anathema. They're claiming to be super Christians. They're claiming to be super holy, super righteous. But he says they are anathema. They're under the curse of God. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, those who are under the law are under, those who are of the works of the law, they're under the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then he said, went on to say that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, that's the liberty that we have in Christ. Now, this liberty has a twofold aspect that we need to understand. And the place that I like to go to see that is Romans chapter 6. Now, we could go to other passages. We could go to other passages other than Galatians 5 and Romans 6. But I think these are two of the best. Galatians 5, the liberty that we have in Christ, that liberty to serve, that liberty to obey as a servant of God. But here in Romans chapter 6, we see that defined. And in Romans chapter 6 in verse 7, if you'll look at that, the first aspect of this liberty is a legal liberty. Now, there's a legal liberty. You see, people by nature who fell in Adam, and that's all of us by nature, we fell into a state of sin and death. And were it not for God's grace in Christ, we would be condemned by the law. And therefore, the only hope we have is that condemnation, be removed by Christ as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of God's chosen people. Now, there are people who are under condemnation, and they will live and they will die in unbelief. That's what the Bible says. But those who are saved by the grace of God have been brought out from under condemnation by the Lord Jesus Christ as their surety. Now, when I say their surety, what I'm talking about is that Christ stands accountable for their debt to the law of God. You see, to be a sinner is to run up a debt. And we talk about it in our earthly legal system. when a person commits a crime and they're found guilty, well, they have to go to prison or do something by way of punishment in order to pay their debt to the law or pay their debt to society. Well, breaking the law of God, sinning, coming short of the mark, is like running up a debt. Well, God, the Bible teaches that God, before the foundation of the world, chose a people to save and accounted, reckoned, charged their debt, sin debt, to Christ. And Christ willingly took that debt and willingly agreed to do what it would take to pay that debt. So he's our surety. The sins of God's elect have been imputed to Christ, charged to Christ. They're not imputed to them. That's why the Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. And then in order to pay that debt, Christ had to become the substitute of his people. He had to take our place. And in order to do that, he had the Son of God, who is the second person of the Trinity, very God of very God in every attribute of deity, had to unite himself with a sinless humanity, human body and soul, created for him in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit. That's the incarnation. And that's why we talk about the person of Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh. He had to be made flesh without sin, but having sin imputed to him, he had to be made flesh in order to do what was required. And that is the soul that sin, that is the wages of sin is death. He had to die. That's the payment. His blood is the payment. It's a penal substitution. A lot of modern theologians who don't believe the true gospel, don't believe the Bible, they don't like that. They don't like the idea of a penal substitution. Well, my friend, my only hope is the penal substitutionary work of Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. That's what his blood equals. Righteousness. His death removed my sins, paid the debt in full by one offering, sin offering. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10 and verse 14. And so that's that penal substitutionary work. That's the legal work that Christ did. And in doing that, what did he do? He redeemed me from my sins. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The redemption price is the blood of Christ. You're not redeemed with the works of man or the things of this earth, silver and gold. But we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, you see. Now, in Romans chapter 6 here, he speaks of the death of Christ as the surety, as the substitute, as the redeemer of his people. And he says, this is Romans 6, 4. This is the legal aspect of the believer's liberty in Christ. That's the foundation of all liberty. What Christ did on the cross according to the power and the purpose of God. And this is what he's talking about in Romans 6, 4. Well, look at verse 3. Romans 6, 3. He says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now, the baptism that he's talking about here is not water baptism, the ordinance of baptism. The Bible speaks of that in other places. that believers, if you're a believer, you are to confess your faith in Christ in believers' baptism. But believers' baptism in water, the ordinance, does not wash away our sins. It does not save us. It does not enact the work of the Spirit. It is a confession that that has already been accomplished by Christ, by His grace. The word baptized means placed into. It means to be in union with. And so, immersed in. And it says here, if you were placed into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into His death. What does that mean? That means when Christ died, He died for me. It means when He died as my surety to pay my debt. I'm the sinner. He's the surety. He's the substitute. That means He died to satisfy the justice of God in my place and work out a perfect righteousness by which God can justify me. And it's all based upon His righteousness, Christ's righteousness, charged, accounted, reckoned, imputed to me. And therefore I cannot be condemned. But look on at verse 4. He says, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. When He died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When He arose, we arose, and we will be risen in another way, which I'll talk about in just a moment. Look at verse 5, Romans 6. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death. Now, this is something that happened to all of God's chosen people together. Now, if He was talking about believers' baptism, that didn't happen to all of us together. If you're a believer and you were truly baptized under the preaching of this gospel, you weren't baptized the same time I was. I wasn't baptized the same. But here's a baptism that took place for all of us together. What's He talking about? He's talking about our representative union, our legal union with Christ. In Christ, all of God's elect were represented by Him. So that when He died, we all died. When He was buried, we all were buried. When He arose again, we all arose again. Not personally in ourselves, but in Christ as our surety, our substitute, and our Redeemer. And so verse 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with Him. Now, the old man there is our connection with Adam in that state of sin and death, and it was crucified with Christ. In other words, we can't be condemned. That sin and death that Adam plunged us into, that death that we were born into, the sins that we have committed, that connection with, that's the old man, that's the unregenerate man. Well, he's been crucified. He's been put to death. This is not dying. This is put to death, past tense. He says that the body of sin, that is the whole body sin involves, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, hold on there. That's not just about morality and immorality. That has to do with salvation. But look at verse 7. For he that is dead, he that died with Christ, was buried with Christ, rose again with Christ, is freed from sin. Now that word freed there is literally the word justified. What is it to be justified? It's to be legally free from sin. It's to be forgiven of all my sins, past sins, present sins, future sins, all sins, sins of thought, sins of commission, sins of omission, my fallen act, the whole body of sin was taken care of, fully paid for, by the blood of Christ. And then to be justified means this too. It means to be declared before God legally, really, factually righteous before God. Not guilty. I'm righteous in God's sight. So that I cannot be charged with my sins. Christ was charged with my sins and He put them away. I'm charged with His righteousness. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6 says, blessed is the man, describes the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness, charges righteousness without works. How does God do that? Through the substitutionary work of His Son. And that's our legal freedom. And it's stated in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And then the evidence that they're in Christ is they walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that leads me to the next aspect of this freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free. How has Christ made me free? Legally, I'm not condemned. Legally, I cannot be charged with my sin. Sin cannot be imputed to me. Legally, I'm righteous in God's sight. All right, here's the second aspect. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Now, this is the spiritual aspect of our liberty in Christ, the believer's liberty. And I understand now, I'm not talking about all without exception. I'm talking about those who believe, those who have been brought to faith in Christ and repentance by God. And this is the spiritual aspect. And this is when we enter into that perfectly and personally. We enter into that liberty. That which Christ accomplished in the mind of God before the foundation of the world and at the cross before I was born for me legally. Now God brings me by the Holy Spirit into a personal knowledge and experience of that liberty. And here it is in Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Now, to understand the Bible, you have to understand what it means by these phrases like servant of sin. And usually when people think of a servant of sin, they think of somebody who is openly immoral among society. But let me tell you what a servant of sin is here. A servant of sin here is an unbeliever. He may be a religious unbeliever. She may be religious. She may be sincere and dedicated. They may be good parents, good husbands, good wives, good fathers, good mothers in the eyes of man. But if they do not believe in Christ, they are slaves to sin, self-righteousness, self-love. You understand that now. That's what he's calling these people. When Christ confronted the Pharisees, he told them, you do indeed appear righteous unto men, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones. And people say, well, they weren't sincere. Listen, you can be religiously sincere and still be lost, still be a servant of sin. Servants of sin are what we are all by nature as born into this world until we're born again by the Spirit, until we're brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. So you were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart. The heart. What is the heart? It's the mind. It's the affections. It's the will. It's the conscience. It's the inner man. You have obeyed from the heart. In other words, you're not just giving lip service to it. It's not just an outward profession or some kind of outward reformation. You've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, or literally which you were delivered to. And what is that form of doctrine? That's the gospel. The Bible calls the gospel of liberty. Liberty in Christ. It's the proclamation of liberty. Isaiah chapter 61 speaks of how Christ came to proclaim liberty to the captives. Christ said in John chapter 8, the truth will set you free. Now, I've already been set free legally by Christ on the cross. But until He brings me into a personal knowledge and experience of that in the new birth by the Holy Spirit, you must be born again. I don't know anything about it, and I'm a servant of sin and unbelief. But now when the Holy Spirit comes under the preaching of the gospel which is the power of God unto salvation, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That's the merits of Christ, obedience unto death as my surety, my substitute and my redeemer. That's the doctrine. That's the teaching. That's what that is. That's the truth which I was delivered to, and I've obeyed it from the heart. Now, how can a sinner who is naturally rebellious, naturally ignorant, dead in trespasses and sins, obey this doctrine from the heart. It's a work of God. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in us. God says, I'll give them a new heart. You see, the natural heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. If left to ourselves, to our own, as they say today, free will, we will not obey the doctrine. We will not obey it from the heart. God has to give us spiritual life. You must be born again or you cannot enter or see the kingdom of God. And the new birth has to come about by God. It doesn't come about by anything I do or don't do or you do or don't do. It's all the work of God. It's a sovereign, invincible, powerful work of God under the preaching of the gospel. And he says, you've obeyed that from the heart. He's given me a new heart. He's given me a new spirit. The heart of a regenerate person. How do you know he's given you a new heart? Because you obey this doctrine sincerely, inwardly, in your very inner being. And then he says, verse 18, being then made free from sin. Now, the word free there is liberation. As the word freed in Romans 6:7 was justification, the word free here is liberation. You've been liberated. What have I been liberated from? Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, to be a servant of sin is to be in unbelief. To be a servant of righteousness is to believe in Christ as the Lord our righteousness. It's not just to go from being immoral to moral. It's going from being an unbeliever to being a believer in Christ. It's going from hating the doctrine to loving the doctrine because it tells me of the glorious person and the finished work of Christ. We're servants of righteousness because we follow Christ who is our righteousness. And that's what Paul says, stand fast in that liberty. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.